Welcome back to season two of the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast, equipping you to successfully pursue the college of your dreams. We believe everyone deserves to reach their full potential, and the admissions process shouldn't hold you back.
Welcome back to the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast. I'm so excited for this particular interview because we have a student who is participating in the program. Anubhav is a junior and is halfway through the spring 2022 cohort of the Ivy League Challenge. Really excited to have him here to just share his experiences and his thoughts with all of you today. Anubhav, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, wonderful. Let me just start off right from the beginning, because I know that you had listened to my podcast before you joined the Ivy League Challenge. Something kind of grabbed your attention. But before we get there, can you explain to me what problem were you facing when you decided to join the Ivy League Challenge? Like, what were you facing, or what were you thinking about?
So the main problem which I was facing when I decided to join the Ivy League Challenge was just the aspect of how can I share my story with the admission officers. It was just about how I can stand out and express me as a person instead of just that score, like a certain ACT score, SAT scores, GPAs, hours of volunteering, because other people can have that too, but what's different about them and me is how can I can like express my story, how I can express my values to the admissions officers, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so now here you are, you're halfway finished with phase two. For those who might be listening for the first time, we move people through three phases in the Ivy League Challenge. It's a 12-week course. Phase one is about 4 weeks long. That's where we figure out those core values and your drivers, your the things that really make you tick and the things that make you you. And then in phase two, we introduce the impact project, which is this evidence that you don't just say you have these core values, you're actually living them, because you identify a problem in your community that violates your core values, and then we go about solving that problem. And so I've introduced in last week, in week five, I introduced to you and to the other students in the cohort the nine different categories of impact projects that are all very impressive to admissions officers. Mm-hmm. And now here you are. So you're 6 weeks into a 12-week program. Let me ask, first of all, what has surprised you so far in these 6 weeks?
What's been really surprising for me is just through, like, I'll give an example of another activity that's just really impactful for me, was activity in which we stepped into the shoes of admissions officers, in which we really like looked things from their perspective. And it just made it so plainly obvious that why people who are trying to do everything which others are doing and are trying to do it better are not going to succeed as well as others who are going to tell a clear story from their application. We're going to tell a clear story that they're going to demonstrate these and the activities and the projects which they have done throughout the high school or even before, compared to others who just try to do things for the sake of them. Just, I'm going to be a board member of this club only because it might help me with my application, instead of really identifying things which are really important to you and actually working towards them, things that you enjoy, things that you could see yourself doing as a career or in future.
Yeah.
So that was really surprising. Additionally, I also learned that you don't have to be superhuman to get accepted into these universities. There's not like a type of person who is just the perfect example, the perfect model, which is going to make it. It's anyone can really develop themselves and really focus on their core values and really develop themselves to be able to get picked for into these universities. And it's not really that you're something that you're born with or something which you can't work on.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back to this idea of stepping into the shoes of the admissions officer. I love how you said that and how much it surprised you, because how many students actually do exactly what you described? I'm going to be on the board because there's this opportunity to be on the board of this club. And so what people end up doing is they feel like, if I can show that I did more than everyone else, then that must mean that I'm better than everyone else or more qualified in some meaningful way. And the more qualified I am, the more likely I am to get in. And so you're saying that perhaps you believed that before. Is that?
Yeah,
I'm taking
exactly.
A leap here. I'm taking a leap here, but Okay, so tell me, you believed that before? You felt like that was,
and you feel
like that happens on your campus as well, in among your peers?
Definitely. Everyone is trying to just like do as many things as they can. Like really talking to my friends and others, they're just trying to find every single volunteering opportunity they can, trying to join every single club they can, trying to like spend hours every day, like putting effort and time into these things, which they don't really want to do. In fact, they want to do something else. Maybe they're giving up their actual passions to do these things, which they think are going to look good on their application. And later on down the road, they're going to realize, I should not have like spent my time and energy doing that. Instead, if I would have focused on what things matter to me, I would have enjoyed my time much more. I would have really appreciated it if I would have not done those things and would have taken a different direction.
Yeah. Well, not only would they have enjoyed their time more and developed themselves, right? Because remember, if you're doing the things you care about, you're far more likely to learn on a deeper level. You're far more likely to try new things that are a bit of a risk and stick with it when things are difficult. And when you stick with it, you develop resilience and grit, and you develop leadership and communication skills and problem-solving skills as you stick with the things that you care about, which is far less likely if you're doing something just to put on a resume because you think it will help you stand out. So there's like the actual personal development. But now what you're saying is that in week five, in week six, when we put you in the shoes of the admissions officer and we actually had you try to determine what kinds of people stand out to you, you're saying that you realized that not only is this, you know, doing more of the stuff that you think helps you stand out, not only does that, you know, force you to sacrifice your passions and your core values and the activities that you wish you could do, but you're saying that you discovered and now you understand that that actually is hurting your chances of getting into the school that you think it's helping you get into.
Exactly. Exactly.
How did you arrive at that? How did you figure that out? What about class helped you understand that?
So what about class really helped me understand that is just how your college application, there is like a story which you're telling about yourselves. And when you are focusing on these distantly related or maybe not related activities, there's not really a connection which the admission officers can really make between your letters of recommendation, between your own essays, between all the activities. If they're not really able to find a connection, it's much less impactful than a person who has really demonstrated that they are doing activities which are really aligning with these values and these interests. And this is consistently demonstrated across their essays. It's demonstrated across their letters of recommendation. And so when we in class, when you're discussing these things, it really helped me understand that, just like a aha moment, basically. There's like a light bulb which meant in my head and made me realize that the way which I was thinking about this process is not the right way to approach it.
Oh, amazing. Absolutely compelling. All right. Can we shift gears a little bit? Let me just ask you about phase one. All right. So in phase one, we spend 4 weeks learning some study skills, some how to, you know, time management, energy management, prioritization. We learn some of the kind of strategic things that you need to do to make sure your body is in good enough shape that it can support your ambitions. And also that mentally you understand how to train your brain in the morning, how to make sure that you're off on the right track. And then we get right into core values. So did something surprise you or did you really resonate with something in that kind of phase one, those 4 weeks, the self-awareness work that you did?
Mm-hmm. So throughout the phase one, one thing which I really loved or which really stood out to me was we were asking questions and thinking in a way which we have never had an opportunity to do so with my peers. And so we were really asking these deeper questions and thinking deeper within ourselves. And so this kind of thing is usually which people like never get a chance to do or never do by themselves. So this was something which I really loved. It really helped me to develop a personal clarity and really like learn what my core values are much more. I like learned about myself much more than I knew before phase one, especially the work with metacognition, which we did, which was like stepping outside yourself and just looking back at yourself. that activity by itself was so immensely powerful that it made me realize that all these like answers about myself are hidden within me. And I just need like this activity kind of like unlocked myself. Oof. And it kind of made me realize like what kind of things I value, what are my core values. And especially by having these discussions with my peers, it like makes you think deeper. And this kind of fortunate is like really not out there in the real world. You don't really have these kinds of discussions with your friends, your peers, or just in any other situation.
Oh, that is so valuable to hear. I think anyone listening in can kind of get a feel for that. I want to probe just a little bit deeper. One more question about the breakout rooms. So generally, mm-hmm. the way that I teach is I teach for, you know, 20, 25 minutes, including the metacognition exercise, right? Where I taught about what metacognition means and how we can begin to develop that area of the, you know, that skill that only can be done because of the developing prefrontal cortex, that, you know, the last part of the brain for teenagers that develops allows us mm-hmm. to do metacognitive skills, to develop metacognitive skills and to develop metacognition. All right. So that's a lot of big words that someone listening in is going to say, what does that mean? But I teach for maybe 20, 25 minutes, and then I break you into breakout rooms with a partner, with a group of three or a group of four, whatever the case may be. And then I have you discuss with other teenagers, with your peers that you've met inside the Ivy League Challenge. And yes, these peers are, you know, perhaps more ambitious than some of the people that are in your high school, or they're more reflective or more caring. But what is it about those breakout rooms that you find is, you just mentioned that allowed you to go even deeper than what you could do without those conversations. Can you talk just a little bit about those breakout rooms and what makes them so valuable?
With the breakout rooms, you get an opportunity to like talk with people who are in the same boat as you. So I think that is very powerful because it really inspires you by listening to their perspectives and their stories. It really pushes you forward. And by having a group of people to discuss this with, the process is made much easier. And when you're discussing with these people, you can discuss more deeply with them instead of you just do this activity by yourself. And if you're just, for example, just like looking at slideshows, and it doesn't really force you to think as deeper as when you have a discussion with someone, when you like add an idea and they add an idea and when you collaborate with them, you really like see how far the simpler concepts really take off and how much of an inspiration we can be for each other. Yeah. So it's, I think, really valuable to get an opportunity to every class session to talk with peers and to reflect on the topics.
Yeah, I'm always surprised. I'll just say from my perspective, I'm always pleasantly surprised and delighted by how much the students in the Ivy League Challenge enjoy the breakout rooms, how much they talk about that the growth really happened in those rooms. Especially, I think back to remember the activity we did about the origins of fear and mm-hmm. what we're afraid of, that there are three kinds of pain, and we're afraid that we're going to experience process pain or outcome pain, right? Or yep. loss pain, right? So we have these fear of pain, and then I asked you guys to write about it, and then without any warning or anything else, I said, mm-hmm. okay, now you're going to talk about it. And for many of the students, writing about those fears was very vulnerable and a bit off. There was a lot of authenticity for sure, but mm-hmm. probably not something that they were excited to go share with someone, but because they were thrown into a room right away and it's like, okay, let me read to you what I had. I love when people come out of that breakout room because they talk about, wow, I didn't know that my peers had the same fears that I did. And everyone just feels lighter. Everyone just feels like they've been heard, like they're understood. And it's mm-hmm. just a beautiful thing.
It kind of like purges your emotions, basically, because I think naturally people try to suppress their fears and not think about them too much. And when they are like exposed or like brought out like this, they really realize like how common this is. And it's not just them. Like if someone feels the imposter syndrome, they're pretending and they're the only one with fears in this. So when they're really in the breakout room and when they're forced to like put out these things, they really understand how common it is. And it's really, I think, purges these emotions and you really have a sense of clarity when you walk out of it, just as you're describing, because this opportunity is like really valuable and really unique.
Mm, thank you so much. Yeah, I think so. I think it's been fascinating to see and to hear from the students, you know, the greatest growth occurs in those breakout rooms. So that's wonderful. Let me ask one other question that I know many people are thinking about, because a lot of people who have ambitions to go to these more selective schools that might be interested in the Ivy League Challenge, a lot of these people are really busy, right? And you're a junior, you're busy with very difficult classes, advanced classes, lots of activities. Why did you decide to add this training to that hectic schedule? And was it worth it? Was this a good choice?
I would say so. It was definitely a great choice. So as I was talking earlier about, like by listening to podcasts, it kind of gave me a sense that I was not really on the right path. I was trying to follow the traditional advice. I was trying to do everything that others were doing better than themselves. And one incident which happened recently really opened my eyes about this. So I have a friend who like is the perfect example of a person who has followed the traditional advice. This person has taken every single rigorous class offered to them, has gotten all A's in them. He is a board member of multiple clubs. He has scored a really high GPA. He has gotten the perfect ACT scores. And the list goes on and on. He's also like won a lot of maths and programming competitions. And everyone, like literally everyone, expected him that he would like reach the college of his dreams, and he would definitely get accepted in multiple Ivy League schools. But when the results came, we all were shocked to find out that he was accepted in none of them. So I think this really made me think about what he could have done differently so that he could have gotten accepted, because he's one of the most talented and the most ambitious person I know. And now that I've gone through a few weeks in the Ivy League Challenge, it kind of feels that I am on the right path to find that answer, that what's the thing which you need to do? What's the difference between people who are trying to do everything which others are doing, but trying to do better than they are, and others who really share a personal story and really stand out to admission officers instead?
Wow, that's a sobering story, and it's heartbreaking, but also hopefully inspiring to someone who's not already finished with high school, who has, if you're in a junior year, here you are, Anubhav, saying, yeah, I'm super busy, but I couldn't, if there's one thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to miss this, right? I'm going to do this. And I think that's wise. If you really do care about standing out for a selective university, it's like, yeah, you're definitely busy. Of course you're busy. But if you need to get to some destination and you get in your vehicle to drive to that destination and you're already late and you look down and you realize that you don't have enough gas in your tank, what are you going to do? I'm late, so I don't have time to fill up on gas. If your decision is to skip the gas station and not fill up your car, you're not going to get there, whether you're late or not, right? No matter how much of a hurry you're in, if you don't have the right strategy that gets you to the destination, it's like, you know, deciding not to fill up the gas in your car because you're busy.
That is exactly how I feel about this.
Oh, amazing. So you decided, okay, no matter what, even if it feels like it's impossible, I'm going to pull over, I'm going to fill up with gas so that I at least have a chance of getting to that destination. And I love that. I also love the fact that you've bought in 100% on a lot of the mindset stuff that we talk about, right? People come into the challenge thinking, if I can just get into X university, then I know I'll be happy. I know I'll be successful. And look, I got a degree from Harvard. Plenty of my classmates are not happy with their lives. They don't feel like they're successful. Plenty of the people that I went to school with, and plenty of people who were rejected from Harvard or other Ivy League schools, or all the Ivy League schools, are happy and living very successful, fulfilled lives, right? So it's not the school that you go to that determines the rest of your life and the success that you're going to have. Instead, it's how well did you prepare for that school? If you discover your core values and you live those core values with courage, and you begin to find and solve real problems in the real world, you can approach college admissions with a different mindset. Instead of, if I could just get into my dream school, I know I'll be happy, I'll be lucky to go there. You can switch it to, you know, I know who I am. I have a track record of success, finding and solving real problems in the real world. Whichever school I choose to go to will be lucky to have me. And that's because I'm going to bring back honor to that campus, because I know who I am and I know that I'm a problem solver. I know that I have these skills and I'm going to continue to build on those skills and this mindset at the university level. And so, yeah, that's, I love that you have bought in 100% into that mindset shift as well. And that's going to only make you more competitive.
That's where, like, the real, I think, the value of this program is, because it's not just limited to, you know, like, preparing for getting into certain universities. It really changes you as a person. It really has a lot of impact in which, even if, for example, you don't do what you initially plan to do, the just going through this process is going to have so much impact on you as a person, and you're going to develop so much in your life that it's just, it's really beneficial.
Anubhav, this has been so fun and hopefully so helpful for people who are listening in. What advice would you have for someone who's preparing for college right now?
So the advice I would have is that college applications is really an individual process. And just for the sake to fit a certain model or a certain ideal, don't try to overload or overwhelm yourself, because in the sea of applicants, if you try to do everything that others are doing, but try to do it better than them, they are, you're really going to find it immensely challenging to stand out. It might also take a toll on your relationships or a toll on your health, which is the really negative part of this approach. Instead, I would advise them to work on identifying their core values, finding their passions and interests, and building their own roadmap with these in mind. If they take steps to do impactful things in their community that reflect intersection of their core values, interests, and strengths, by the time they are writing their applications to colleges, the college admission officers are really going to see a clear and connected story. You're going to demonstrate that you have worked on your self-awareness, and this will tell the story of the real you.
Wow. I couldn't say it better myself. That was so well done. Anubhav, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with the listeners.
It was pretty fun. Thank you.
Music for this episode came from We Are Here by Declare P. I'm Steve Gardner. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.